it tastes like cold. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I know exactly.
It numbs your tongue.
You
can't taste. Though I will say, love Dippin' Dots. We'll die.
Okay, yeah, that's
we'll
yeah,
that's die a, yeah, that's from Dippin' Dots. Yeah.
We're back in business. Welcome to Top Chef Fantasy League. This is take two. We forgot to hit record the first time around. I'm your host and commissioner, Mike Cablon. This is Ify Wadiway. This is Sierra Cotto. Sierra, do you want to talk quickly?
Oh, okay. Yes.
This is so stupid because we have to do everything we just said over the last 10 minutes again.
Sierra, it's okay. It's a good redo.
Yeah, now we have practice. We've
got I realize also, okay, this is fun. Okay, I have a special coming out, comedy special coming out tomorrow. It's April 2nd, Tuesday, on demand, and you can go to my Instagram, which is at Sierra Cotto, SierraKatow, and I have the link in bio to do a little pre-order or order.
A pre-order? Okay.
It's called Funt.
Pre-order as in physical media? Are you doing like vinyls?
Oh, that would be cool. No, it's on demand, so it's just your digital fun times.
Love
but
it.
Right, you know, this is what we're
digital
doing.
Digital fun times.
Oh,
there it is.
Hey.
Well, see, that's why a second take is good, because I wanted to make that joke last time when Sierra said it was fun, and I didn't. I backed out.
And then
now,
I stole it.
Now
stole
you,
Valor.
Yeah.
You didn't steal it. You didn't steal it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. You had it. It came to you naturally.
All right.
Beautiful.
Another small update for us. Very exciting. More and more of the chefs are starting to follow us on Instagram.
Yes.
Which is terrifying. Terrifying.
Scary.
Yeah. We have to, you know, I went back and watched, you know, some of our clips after, like,
just to make sure we didn't say anything incendiary.
Which honestly, I think the follows are proof that we're not being assholes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still wanted to be like, what's it? And I like that, you know, and we did this naturally before we even thought the chefs would follow us. We do a good job of, like, you know, having our little jokey jokes and saying what we say, and then all very quickly being like, but these are amazing chefs. We could never
we
do
can
what
never.
You know,
As Joe Flam says in this episode, there are no bad chefs in this room.
Yes.
There's only, we have bad dishes, we have bad days, but no bad chefs.
Yes.
Beautifully put.
Yes, and if you want to invite us to your restaurants, slide in the DMs. We will be there.
We'll be there.
We'll do an episode from there.
This is a mobile setup. We can do this anywhere.
Mobile setup, yeah.
Just give us some chairs. Honestly, don't give us chairs.
We'll do it standing.
We'll
do it in the bar.
The floor.
Yeah. We can do a walk-in.
Oh, yeah.
We're happy wherever. Put us in the back of the kitchen.
Yeah. Just have, like, the flames going off behind us. That'd be a dynamic episode.
And keep us on our toes.
Yeah. Behind. Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's good. We know the terms.
Speaking of Joe Flam, I think he came across as really just so nice in this episode. Yes. Not that I never thought he wasn't nice, but, like, I feel like he, like, really went toe-to-toe with Tom and, like, stuck up for the chefs.
Yeah.
Alicia talked about how she didn't go to culinary school, but when she worked for Joe Flam, he was one of the only people to tell her, you don't need to go. You're fine.
Yes. And I related to that as, like, a comedian who never went to college, even though it is kind of different because you don't need to go to college for comedy. But, you know, as you know, you see a lot of these comedy writers who have these Harvard connections, and, you know, I'm just doing it from the street. So I like to imagine that, like, Alicia is the culinary Iffy, you know, and I'm the comedy
Amazing.
Alicia.
Yeah, and I watched season 15, Joe Flam's winning season back in the day, and it was great to see him back again. Hasn't aged a day.
You think so?
I haven't compared.
That sounded meaner than I meant. Now I am self-conscious. I'm like, what if Joe Flam listens to this? No, I'm not saying he looks like bad. I'm just like, he does look a little older.
Yeah,
I'm
sure he has. I haven't watched that season in a while. So
you're just going off the dome.
Yeah, I just from, you know, wanting to throw something out there, I'm like, maybe Flam looking.
He looks
glam.
Good. I'll cap it at just he looks good.
Yeah,
nice.
Flamorous, as they say.
This episode doesn't feel as long to me as last week's did. I'll say that about the new runtime.
Oh, yeah.
Once you add the quickfire back in, it all kind of flowed.
Yeah, I think it being a team challenge and having the coursing out kind of made it like skip along, because you got like, bam, here's the dish. You get some thoughts. You're already on to the next dish. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, I think, also made it feel very like quick.
Yeah, seven course meal is good for editing, because you can just, here's the next one.
Yes.
And there are so many chefs, it's still the beginning of the season, so they just keep, there's so much to pack in, it feels like you're just fully, I gotta pay attention. Oh, they're moving on to the next dish, so.
Speaking of so much to pack in, the big thing that we gotta talk about this week is Last Chance Kitchen, because huge twist, but we'll talk about that later, because Last Chance Kitchen comes after the episode, so let's dive in.
Yes.
By the way, this episode is brought to you by Miller High Life. Iffy, you brought us some wonderful Milwaukee beer, the champagne of beers to drink.
Yes, and that's why we're drinking it out of coupe glasses, and I will say, it does make it taste better. This is take two, so I've already finished my first. Oh, thank you so
much. We're
going
to refill that.
Yeah, refill. There we go. Good thing.
But it's all about, and I got to say, this was my first beer that I ever had.
Today, actually.
Yeah. Today. Yeah, ever. Yeah. No, in high school, Will Martinez, maybe, you know, well, you know, statute of limitations over. Also, you were a teen, too. But, yeah, he was like, if you want to get on varsity, you have to kill this 40-ounce and go to practice. And it was the Miller High Life. And I remember reading it was the champagne of beer. I was like, this doesn't taste like champagne. But also in...
You had no reference
to
what champagne is.
Exactly. Yeah, but in my head, I was like, this
isn't no way.
Right. But now I'm like, actually, I get it.
It's a fine, drinkable beer. I really enjoy it. The quick fire for this episode is a hops challenge.
Ooh.
Or as Kevin calls it, an oops challenge.
Oops.
I love a charming French accent.
Yeah.
Oops. The prize is $5,000, sponsored by the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. I was thinking about this. Top Chef is a very sponsor-heavy show.
Yes.
Sure.
And I don't know how to assign points to a sponsorship, but I feel like maybe it's a drinking game.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like anytime they drop a heavy-handed sponsorship.
Take a shot.
You got to take a shot.
Take a shot. Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting because, like, I feel like some shows try and be covert about it, and they're like, this is it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it's, one, why Top Chef has been on for as long as it is.
Because they can afford to.
Oh, yeah. The price for the spot of being the blank whatever challenge is probably so high.
Yeah. I'm
and
sure.
Hey, look, it works. You know, we bought this.
We're drinking.
Yeah. I had Saratoga last week. I mean,
I'm a Wells Fargo member. I mean, before me watching Top Chef, but I'm going to say.
Still.
Maybe not. Yeah.
I know. Maybe not.
I really want to buy a BMW X5.
Yeah.
Advertising works, folks.
Oh, my God. Whole Foods.
I shop at Whole Foods all the time.
Yes.
In the quick fire, the least favorite dishes, we have Kenny with his undercooked farro. Again, Kenny on the bottom. Iffy, as Kenny's team captain, you got to tell me what's in this player's head.
Yeah, Kenny, it seems like he's getting his footing, but what I do appreciate about Kenny is he's still taking big swings. He's trying to do interesting things. He hasn't quite hit a stride and did like something eye-catching that makes him stand out, much like other people we'll talk about in this episode. But I do think he's due for a standout episode. I think he's going to be one of the ones who really kind of has an episode where they knock it out of the park. And that is kind of what I'm waiting for at this point.
They're definitely giving him like the charm edit right now. So it's going to feel good when he finally wins.
Oh, yeah.
This week he had his little like, I had to tweak. I mean, twerk. And everyone laughed. It's so charming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I laughed in the preview and they brought it back in the real one. I was like, seeing it live, still laughed.
Still funny.
Yeah, because they threw in the AYO. And I was like, shocking. I was glad. Because, you know, I did not expect to hear an AYO.
He doesn't look like an AYO kind of guy.
Yeah, but I'm glad that he did hit me one. I was like, I'm glad I picked you. We found each other.
Amazing.
You found love in a hopeless place.
Yes.
Second least favorite dish, Danny, who tried to steep his hops like tea, but it ended up too bitter, and he tried to save for the second week in a row. He kind of gets into the weeds in the middle of the challenge and then has to struggle to save it. Is this, as his team captain, does this feel like a trend for you? How are you feeling about this?
A little nervous because he's like one of my top guys, right? But I would say, you know, he talked about his OCD and in particular, like he was in a new kitchen. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, where's the paper towels? Like running around. I can imagine that gets in your head
stressful.
A lot. And especially him, if he's, you know, particular about where he puts stuff. So, you know, I appreciate that he brought that up. He talked about his wife and how she kind of makes fun of him for it, which was cute. And then, just the idea that like they're at least going to be in this quick fire kitchen for a while.
Presumably
and
for the rest
so,
of the season.
Yeah. So like hopefully this is just first quick fire jitters.
Okay. I like that.
All right.
Like
we'll
that.
See. Time will tell. Bringing up the rear in the least favorite dishes in the quick fire. Valentine.
Oh.
A harbinger of things to come.
Yeah. Valentine, I think, really had a tough episode. Really
tough episode.
Couldn't get it together. And this is just kind of like how it goes. Those early episodes, we're weeding them out.
Someone's got to go home.
Yeah. And I say, yet again, not a bad chef in there. But I do think this is a very intense setting for a lot of these folks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're just second guessing, you're overthinking, and I think that's definitely what's happening right now.
You did get a quarter of a point because he did say that he missed his daughter.
Yeah.
Cute daughter. I think he did say he hadn't competed on in cooking show before, so yeah. I'm sure it's like all the things.
I feel like there's no reason to dwell on it because we're gonna have a chance to talk about
more. We got a lot more to talk about with Valentine.
Yeah, a lot more.
So let's move on to the top. Our favorite dishes in the quick fire. They picked Laura's rice pudding, which I'll say to me looked so good.
I love
a rice pudding.
Me too. Oh, I love a rice pudding so much.
And Laura was one of the only people who had cooked with hops before. She said she had opened a beer restaurant.
Yes.
She also said her new restaurant only opened 5 weeks ago.
Crazy.
Which is to open a restaurant and then immediately be like, I gotta go on Top Chef.
I know, kitchen is like, where are you going?
Mom, no.
But hey, like, I think it's, you know, now everybody's finding out about her and her restaurant. I hope now they're reaping the benefits of letting
I hope they're rolling in reservations tonight.
Oh yeah, you bet.
Second for favorite dishes, Michelle's grilled steak with a strawberry and hop sauce. Which also looks great.
Yes.
And Michelle gets to do a grill thing, which we love.
Yeah. Yeah, Michelle's always trying to hop on that grill, and I appreciate her for it. Do what you do best.
Lean into your strengths.
Yes.
Why try and punch out of your weight class? You
exactly.
Know? She's doing great. Third up, Kevin with his little berries and cream dish, little hop oil on the berries. Looked great.
Yeah.
Pastry background.
Yeah, again, lean into your strengths. Do what you know.
Oh, yeah.
Laura ends up winning the quick fire, so she gets points for that. And then we find out that it is a beer episode. So we're moving on to our elimination challenge now, which is it's a team challenge, and they have to make a progressive menu of elevated bar snacks. And as an added little twist, each team only gets $500. As they keep saying throughout the episode, champagne taste on a beer budget.
Yes.
They love to layer in that, which was funny.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that was one of Miller High Life's little things where, like, you can keep saying this.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as you say champagne and beer every other sentence, we're good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I love, too, is that we had the champagne, the Miller High Life representative also there.
His job title was only listed as Miller High Life representative. I'm like, what does this woman do
for
the company?
She's there to represent.
She was voted by her constituents at the Miller High Life Corporation to represent.
Right.
But she was doing great because she was always dropping a Miller High Life reference.
Oh, and she was like, ready. She was like, I know what the secret ingredient is.
Oh, yeah.
Miller High Life.
Yeah, I was like, that is a media trained representative.
Oh, you bet. Oh, yeah, those are the skills she learned at Miller High Life College.
A college that I wish I had gotten into, but I did not have the grades.
No, Joe Flam would tell you, no need to go to Miller High Life College.
Yeah.
Just work hard.
The winner of the elimination challenge gets $10,000 courtesy of Miller High Life. Everyone take a shot for that.
Yep.
So we split off into two teams. The yellow team. I did the math here for you guys. Alicia, Kenny, Savannah, Dan, Rossica, Michelle, and Manny. That is three people on Sierra's team, two people on my team, two people on your team.
Yes.
The red team consists of Kalina, Amanda, Valentine, Charlie, Laura, Kevin, and Danny. That's only one person for Sierra. That's three for me and three for you.
Yes.
So we're leaning a little more on the red team here.
Yeah.
Which does not bode well for us.
Yes, not at all.
Sorry.
And for a couple reasons, which we'll get into when we get into who wins and who loses.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Before the challenge starts, we get this cute moment where all the chef testants get to make dinner together in the loft. It's very cute.
Yes, I loved it so much.
But this is where we get sort of one of the big personal story arcs for this episode is that Dan has Kennedy's disease and at this point has not told the other chefs.
Yes.
Which I think is a very interesting choice to go in and just be like, I want to try and prove myself.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Dan before this. But this really endeared him to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was really like, I mean, I think even in the quick fire, he was like saying, oh, I'm feeling old or something when he was talking, you know? And I thought that was very, you know, I didn't even think anything of it at the time. But then, yeah, the fact that that's kind of like what he's chosen to do, power to him. Obviously, there's more to come. But
yes. I definitely, this arc in this episode, and especially looking a little bit at the preview, I was like, oh, this is going to be the thing that is going to get me
to cry.
I was like, okay, that's going to be a mid-season cry. Waiting for
tugging at your heart there.
Yeah.
Whenever he does get eliminated, because I'll say it, I don't think he's going to make it to the top three. And that's not a knock on his skills. Just my gut feeling. Look, we're playing fantasy sports here.
Yeah.
Whenever he does get eliminated, I will cry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seated with the judges for the meal, we already talked about Carol Walker, Miller High Life representative. The other one I wanted to bring up, Charlie Barron's The Champagne of Comedians.
All right. I have Charlie Barron's knowledge.
Okay, here we go.
So in our first episode, I talked about my friend Matt Torkelson, shout out, who's a comedian from Wisconsin, and we would go to his small hometown to do comedy. He is open for Charlie Barron's in big Wisconsin theaters. Like, this Charlie guy is like the guy.
Here's the thing. I don't doubt that. And I'm not here to knock on Charlie Barron's, like, game recognized game. Comedian. I'm not here to say you're not funny or anything like that. I'm just like, is Milwaukee so bereft of other celebrities that it would be like if one of us was on the show? Do you know what I mean?
That sentence right there is why I'm excited about it. I was like, when they do Top Chef Downey, California.
Oh, yes.
Baby, we are there.
I'm coming down.
And 90% of America is going to watch the show and be like, who the fuck is sitting there next to Tom and Gail?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll say, that's the Charlie Barron's of Downey, California. Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm ready.
The yellow team. We don't have to talk about every dish, but here are the highlights to me. Rossica clearly gets the dessert. Dan wanted the dessert, but nice guy, Midwesterner. Yeah. He says, Rossica, you take the dessert.
We really need to emphasize that Rossica made a pretty big deal to get the dessert.
She was assertive for it, yes.
And that puts her in an interesting position because it's like, if you fuck this up.
Right, you got to deliver.
You got to deliver.
And she did. Pressure's we'll get on. To that in a second, but she did. I liked her little personal story that she told where she was like, my parents, to renew their green card, would come back and bring me pretzels, so I loved pretzels as a kid.
I know.
Adorable.
You love a story.
Yeah.
You love a through line, and that's what Em was saying when she was watching, when she was like, those always do really well. If you thought out and you had a vision and the judges can tell, they lean towards you.
Yeah. Vision and ability to execute on
it
is like
That's clutch. The exact word she used.
Yeah.
Real
which I would
top
argue
chef heads.
Is true of any artist. You know, what I mean? It's like your ability as a painter is only ranked by like what do you see in your head, and are you able to put that on a palette for other people to see? You know what I mean?
Right. One without the other, nada.
Yeah. Does not an artist make, or you can work on it, but that's you know.
Oh yeah.
That being said, Rossica's dessert does sound weird, and Alicia even says Rossica's dessert sounds weird. She has a mustard sabayon on top. Which mustard and dessert, weird.
Yeah.
B, I just want to say Sabayon is how some people try and say my last name sometimes. My last name is Cabalon. People are...
Mike Sabayon.
Sabayon. Yeah, well, now you know where they're getting that from.
Yeah, exactly. But it sounds like a weird dessert. And she almost... There's a little bit of drama because she's like, my granita isn't freezing. I got to use liquid nitrogen. All of this, she still pulls it out.
Sure.
Yeah. Em got scared. Because liquid nitrogen, usually sometimes it'll make it rock hard.
Yes, yeah.
And so that's too cold, like, you gotta watch out. Yeah.
Anything like, frozen dishes, you know, granitas especially, always seem to be so, you know, fickle because you kind of have to have the perfect temperature, texture, you know, and then you
if
think
it's a
about
hot day, you're fucked.
I know. Yeah. And then, you know, the travel time between where they're cooking and the chef's table, like, I can't imagine.
And
so,
in general, like you said, like, I personally am not a fan of, like, liquid nitrogen desserts. Like, there's, like, the rolled ice cream and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's too cold too fast. It tastes like cold. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right. I know exactly.
It numbs your
what
tongue.
You
can't taste. Though I will say, love Dippin' Dots. We'll die.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole Dippin' Dots.
Yeah. That isn't the rolled ice cream. I will say, a friend the other day, it's funny that you bring it up, mentioned they're like, rolled ice cream kind of came and went. Like, I felt like it was a big trend.
It was, like, visually appealing.
Yeah.
But then you eat it and you're like, this sucks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, and you remember, like, those kind of fad desserts, they come and go. I was just talking
about... Except for Dippin' Dots. Still here, baby. Yeah. Still rocking
here
it.
In every mall. But, yes, I mean, Pinkberry, did you guys...
Oh, baby.
Yeah. That was...
Come and gone.
It was so funny, too, because I think the thing that really made frozen yogurt blow up was this false idea that they're like,
it's healthier
than ice cream, and that's what kind of like pushed it forward. And you're putting like fucking graham crackers and gummy bears on it. It's like, this is healthy.
Yeah,
we were wild for that one. We
as a society. This is just a fun fact I learned recently. Did you know that Dippin' Dots makes most of their money not from ice cream?
Really?
They almost, you can read an article about it. I feel like I'll find a link. I'll put it in the show notes. They almost went bankrupt. They got a new CEO. The new CEO was like, the technology to make the ice cream is better than the ice cream. So we started licensing it out to like pharmaceutical companies, because that process of taking a liquid and turning it into like little pellets is like really helpful for like transportation and storage and stuff like that. So they make most of their money off licensing the technology for Dippin' Dots to pharmaceuticals.
Wow.
They're STEM. It's STEM.
It's all STEM.
Yeah, STEM.
Stay in school, kids.
Oh, man.
All right. Also on the yellow team, Michelle makes a... I'm calling this out strictly because it just looked the best to me. Michelle makes a corn crab biscuit with a Miller High Life hot honey butter drizzle.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah, Michelle. Every episode, I'm like, I should have drafted Michelle.
Well, and here's the thing. I feel like it didn't get enough love. I feel like they kind of, you know, and I think they genuinely try and be like, here's a positive, here's a negative. And I was like, this is the one that sounds like it fucking tastes great.
On a menu, it's the first one I would order, hands down.
Yeah, and so it was, so like it came and they kind of praised it a little bit, and then they started saying stuff, and I was like, no. This is the one.
Yeah.
Like this is like I didn't taste it, but I feel like I don't need to. I, as someone who is a great orderer, like if I I pat myself on the back many a partner I've dated, we go to restaurants and they're always like, damn, you know how to order. I was like, I know how to just read a menu and know what they can execute. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's a superpower.
That is. Because there are, my girlfriend and I argue about this a lot. There are certain restaurants where we like the restaurant, but you can order wrong.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? And arguably one of the marks of a good restaurant is like you can't order wrong. But there are a lot of restaurants where it's like there are some duds on the menu.
Oh, yeah. And I think it all comes down to, you know, what you know their specialty is and kind of like circling around that. And like sometimes I feel like there are standout items on a menu that would make you go, why do they have this? And it's like, oh, they have this because the chef knows how to make this. Like this is like a minor, like I know how to make this and I know it really doesn't fit, but I'm gonna toss it on the menu.
Yeah.
Those are usually the sleepers.
Yeah. Signature dishes. I know what you mean. I went to a restaurant recently and I saw Robuchon potatoes on the menu.
Yeah.
Which is, you wouldn't put it on a menu unless you're like, I know how to make fucking Robuchon potatoes. Because they take forever to make. They're impossible to get right.
Yes.
So if you're putting it on a menu, you're like, listen, I'm not fucking around with my potatoes. Here we go. I'm making Robuchon potatoes.
Right.
Anyway, Michelle's biscuit looks great. Dan makes a popcorn mousse with clams, which sounds weird, but all the judges are like, it rocks.
Yeah.
It works.
Oh, yeah.
And B, his hands are shaking. So we're getting the second beat of this narrative. He says it's 30% competition, 70% Kennedy's disease, which is a really depressing ratio.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Really tugging at the heartstrings, Dan.
Yeah. But yes, the popcorn dish did look really good. It looked very innovative. And the fact that, it's really fascinating that it came out so quickly that, you know, it's very much visually you can see what he's struggling with. So I think that was very powerful.
Yeah. Manny makes a mole thickened with mixed nuts.
Mm.
And everyone loves it. Everyone says it still tastes like mixed nuts. They say it's a good mole.
Yeah.
I really wanted to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also sounds good.
Because I fucking love a mole.
Mole, another one of the dishes where usually if the chef is making it, they're like, you know, this takes like 19 hours to make. And he didn't say a fucking word.
Manny's not the type, I guess.
He's not going to complain.
Yeah.
Kenny makes basically, I described it as a giant chip with sour cream and onion dip on it.
Yes.
And again, everyone loves it.
Yeah. And this is that bounce back I was talking about where I'm like, okay, he kind of stumbled in the quick fire, but it's really starting to come into his own, and it got a lot of love. I feel like he was in the, he could have like, this was one of the ones he was in the running for top dish with this dish.
Yeah.
And I was real hyped. He did not get it because of Rossica's like banger dessert.
Mustard sabayon on top of a pretzel cake.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where, and this will happen a few times, where like just based off of initial reactions, you're like, that's who won.
That's a winning.
Yeah, you're like, you're not even hiding it. Y'all are like, this is the fucking winner.
Yeah, they probably tried to edit away from it, but this is all the reaction.
You can't hide it.
Yeah. They're still like licking their fingers every time they cut back.
We get another charming Kenny moment when he says he dropped out of culinary school because he forgot to sign up again, which is so relatable, man.
Relatable.
And
why would you have to sign up again? That's a horrible system.
Yeah. I just default to I'm staying in school until I'm done.
Yeah. Right? Unless you hear from me, huh?
Yeah.
All right, here we go with the red team. In general, seems like a nightmare. Yeah. I'm going to quote Tom here as best as I can. It might be paraphrased, but Tom said, there seems to be some confusion here. The challenge is to take snacks and turn them into a dish, not take snacks and turn them into snacks.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Which is so brutal. Tom, really, I feel like, I don't know if it's this episode or the season or like, I guess maybe the last couple of years, but Tom feels so fucking over it, man.
Oh, yeah.
He is tired
right.
of this
he
shit.
Right. He saw Padma leave and he's like, what? Yeah. I didn't get on that boat.
That's who was holding him back.
Yeah.
Padma, now he can really just let loose. Like, fuck all you guys. Yeah. Make me something good.
Yes.
So we open up with Kevin's salty, salty olive dish.
Oh, boy.
Which I think contributes to Tom's, like, this is just snacks kind of
thing.
Eventually, course four, we get to Valentine's beer and corn soup, which everyone remarks, is it soup or is it sauce? Which is really hard criticism to hear.
I know.
Sure.
And it's a bummer because it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good.
I love a corn soup.
Yeah.
And it seems like he didn't nail the toasted aspect, too, which is like
which,
two
by
strikes.
The way, I want to bring this up. I'm not crazy. They're talking about corn nuts, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It drove me. They kept saying like toasted corn kernels, and I'm like, that's corn nuts, right?
Oh yeah.
That's what I was
like.
Like
they
imagining.
Didn't have the rights for it.
Yeah. It's like when they say like chocolate hazelnut spread or like a sandwich cookie. It's like,
I feel
like if you're Nutella or Oreo or corn nuts, you gotta just let them fucking say the thing.
People are scared. I was in the market and in the spam section, canned ham.
Canned ham.
What is canned ham?
Yeah.
It's spam. Get out of here. Anyway, so Valentine didn't nail his soup, which is a bummer. The red team opts to do two desserts, or more accurately, a pre-dessert and a dessert, which already seems, I mean, look, anyone who's ever watched a show is like, I wouldn't do that if I That feels kind of risky. Before it hits the table, everyone's like, we hate palate cleansers.
Yeah.
They're fighting against Amanda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Amanda comes out and actually manages to deliver.
Which is what really hurt the most, because I feel like Amanda had a top dish that was mired by a bad team.
Like a
bad team performance.
Because Gail is like, this is better than most of the other dishes in this dinner.
Yeah, and I think that would have been a top dish if she was on a yellow team.
Absolutely.
And like, that's what really hurts is when you see those moments where you're like, ooh, that's a contender that doesn't get to contend because you're standing over there watching them get praised.
Which we talked about in the draft episode. The thing about team challenges is you can really get sandbagged by bad teammates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or hide behind good teammates.
That's true. Also true.
I will say, too, about another Amanda thing. She also had cooked with hops, right, in the quick fire
before. That's true,
And
the only other person
she had that funny thing where she was like, and it smelled like weed when I was
cooking.
Oh, yeah. And I was like,
oh,
this girl
is that
look,
very
she
funny.
She plays D&D. She's a nerd. Yes. Smokes weed, obviously.
Yeah.
She's
Amanda,
hobbies.
If you want to come on the pod,
please.
This is an open invite.
Or if you are like, I don't want to get on the microphone, but I do want to hang out. We'll also just hang out with you.
Yeah, also you can join my D&D table. I do have a rotating chair. If you want to come play, the offer's extended to y'all as well.
I was going
to
say, I'm not leaving y'all hanging.
Amanda first.
It'll be great because it's on Wednesday, so we'll play D&D and then we'll watch
then we'll
the...
Here's my serious thing as a sidetrack. I can edit this out. I don't care.
No, we can sidetrack.
I've always wanted to play D&D, and I've tried a couple times. Here's my problem. All the fucking math. The first thing that happens when you sit down, you're like, I want to play D&D. They hand you a... Have you ever played?
No.
Here's the first thing that happens.
We gotta have you over.
They hand you a worksheet and a pencil, and they're like, all right, time to write down numbers. And I'm like, you've already fucking lost me. I don't want to do this.
Okay, well, luckily with things like D&D Beyond, all the math has been...
Pre-mathed?
It can be computed for you.
Okay.
Also, I can tell you a class that has the least amount of math. You can be something that hits something like a barbarian, and all you got to do is just roll to hit.
Okay.
And there's not that much math.
I can barbarian it.
All right.
One of the greatest movies of 2020.
Very scary.
I love that movie. Anyway, that was my D&D side quest, if you will.
Side quest.
Okay. Before we go to judges' table in this challenge, Dan opens up to the group in the stew room about his diagnosis, and everyone loves him.
Yeah,
very endearing. Nice payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Third beat of this emotional arc.
Very, very brave of him to open up about it too
so
early.
Yeah.
I know there was this is a past season of Top Chef. There was a chef who I don't remember his name, and I won't call him out exactly, but he had lost his smell and taste because
of
COVID.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, this was like recent.
Jackson Cowell, two seasons ago.
Who, I've actually been to his restaurant in Venice, delicious. But you know, he didn't tell anybody for like the whole season. And like to his credit, it's like, sure, I guess, you know, people might want to pick partners or pick team members.
Sure,
and
yeah.
So you don't want to get left out just because they think, oh, this guy can't smell or taste. So, you know, there's definitely your health is your privacy.
Yeah. But also that is a very important element to cooking.
So I would argue one of the most important.
I don't know how he made it so far in the competition, but
you're just going off the top of the dome.
Looks
instincts.
Pretty yummy.
So we get to judges table and the yellow team wins. For point purposes, I'm going to say the judges table, the top three is just all the yellow team. They all get that point. And the main winner is Rossica. Wins.
Beautiful.
with her little pretzel barley cake. Looks delicious. Sounds weird, but it works.
Yeah.
On the bottom, and again,
here we go.
Rough, bad time to be Ify Wadiwe.
Yeah.
On the bottom, we got Kevin. And Tom says, is that the best thing you can do with olives? Which, again, is fucking brutal.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
Tom.
You can see the pain.
Tom's pulling no punches.
No punches.
Yeah.
We also got Charlie on the bottom, whose dish was both under-seasoned and also undercooked. One person got mackerel that was almost raw.
Yeah.
So Charlie all in trouble. And then we've got Valentine.
Yeah.
Valentine on the bottom one more time. I do want to say this is a moment for Kristen to be relatable. She, after they had walked away, she was like, have you guys ever made that mistake of making mashed potatoes in the blender? Because I have. And I'm like, A, that's relatable. And B, now I know exactly what Valentine's soup tasted like.
Yeah.
That's good hosting.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you clocked that, because that is something I turned to him. And I was like, that makes, you know, I like that Kristen did that to be like, hey, you know, make that mistake.
We've all been there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's what she makes.
Unfortunately, it was a fatal mistake.
A fatal mistake, because it ends up sending Valentine home.
I was almost like, I was pretty sure it was going to be Charlie, because usually if something's undercooked,
that's
the
hard
kiss
line
of death.
Yeah.
But Em was saying that she thinks that because it was edibles, like because you could have raw fish,
sure,
it wasn't like,
it's not like raw chicken.
Exactly.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you can kill somebody. Right. Where this one is like, no, you're still good to go.
People eat that raw, and maybe it was just the one, you know, not across the board. Who knows?
Right. So Valentine goes home, which brings us to our marquee topic for today, which is Last Chance Kitchen.
Yes.
Because we get to Last Chance Kitchen, and we learn two things. One, there is a 16th contestant this season.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Sue Ahn from Chicago, who now has to win 5 challenges to make it into the main competition. The second thing we learn, or rather don't learn, David Murphy, nowhere to be seen.
Shocking.
Where the hell is David Murphy?
I think he got clipped. I think he went straight home, and I think that's why they had the competition aspect for the first one, so that they can save.
Okay, I believe it, but riddle me this, Batman.
Ooh.
Why did he go home?
Because he lost.
Like, they were like, that's not good. I feel like something happened.
That's how I feel.
I mean,
something capital H happened.
Because I think, you know, they're already investing in the guy being in the main competition.
Yep.
They told his backstory.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it would be a production side thing where they'd say, oh, actually, we're just going to bring in someone you haven't met.
Bingo.
So I'm wondering, did he opt out? Is that even allowed? Or did, something more emergency happened in his life where he couldn't film, you know?
They didn't say. I mean, I don't know. And I'm not throwing around baseless accusations, but it smacks a bit of when Gabe won and then immediately got canceled, like in real life. And then the show was like, we're just going to distance ourselves from this.
They didn't talk about it, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Because here's the thing. It is not unprecedented in reality TV or even on this show to be like, so-and-so had to go home for a family emergency.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But they didn't even, it was radio silence. They didn't talk about it at all.
Right.
And I dug around on Instagram, on the official Top Chef Instagram, in the post where they're like, we're going to tag all of our chefs for this season. David Murphy is not tagged.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
And if you look
Scandalous.
At his Instagram, it's radio silence. He hasn't posted since he went to Japan earlier this month. There's no talking about the season.
I'm gonna be on it.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, I could see that being like, I got out first. I'm not proud of that. I'm not going to promote, you know, but yeah, I mean, the Top Chef not tagging, that's pretty scandalous.
I think something capital B bad happened.
Okay. Well,
and I would love to be proven wrong. I would love to hear anything to the opposite.
Yeah.
Are you Googling it? Because I tried to Google it. It doesn't work.
All right. Nothing well. You got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, well, we'll create a Google alert for
Or if you know, if for some reason at home you're listening and you're like, oh, I know David Murphy. He told me the story.
Yeah. DM us.
Let us know. We have to know.
You will stay anonymous.
You won't regret it.
Yeah. So David Murphy is mysteriously out, but we got Sue on in. And the challenge in Last Chance Kitchen is to use these elevated ingredients to make a comfort food dish that pairs with beer. Valentine opts to make a New England lobster bake, and Sue makes fish and chips with lobster, champagne in the batter, and caviar on top of his tartar sauce. He's really not fucking around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a spicy take about this.
Here we go.
Okay.
Because, you know, the challenge was to make fancy ingredients regular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make fancy things regular. And I feel like Valentine did that better than Suan. I feel like Suan made a regular dish fancy.
That's right. Okay.
I feel like those are two very different things.
I know what you mean,
yes.
But what other fanciness did Valentine do other than using a lobster?
Exactly. But he made a lobster like a very regular dish, which I think was the assignment. Whereas it felt like Suan made the fanciest version of fish and chips, which I think is a completely different. I think that was what the elimination challenge was.
Interesting. I kind of see what you're saying.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I think
I'm a Magic the Gathering player and I'm looking at the rules and I think, Tom, you fucked up. I think you fucked up.
Yeah,
I think don't
yeah.
make rules lightly. Don't say we're going to take fancy things and make them regular, because if I get one of my TTs from Louisiana and had them choose between those two dishes, they're not picking that fish and chips because they're like, whoa, this is too fancy.
Okay.
And that's my, you know, Louisiana aunt accent.
The entire state of Louisiana is up in arms over that accent.
Yeah, and I don't need y'all to agree with me because M didn't agree with me either. But I'm going to die on this hill that I think Valentine followed the direction of the challenge better than Suan did. But I also think that they're trying to push a narrative here.
I think they want
Suan to go the Christian Kish route since this is her first season.
They did
and so
with
I
that.
Think and so this is so M was like, I feel like they would never do like a producer thing, and I was like, I don't think so either, but I think we know that all these dishes are good. They've spent hours sometimes, you know, trying to decide what's the best or what's the worst dish. So I think that if it is close, you're going to lean towards the better story.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I'd go with Valentine in that because the audience already knows him, you know, from the main competition. This one, some people don't have Bravo. Well, I guess it's on Peacock now, but, you know, Last Chance Kitchen. You know, this guy's really coming in. Who is he? We haven't seen him in that original lineup. But I would say I see what you mean about the elevated thing. I do think the fish and I think frying the lobster into a fish fry was good. But then when he pivoted maybe with the tartar sauce, but also I'm kind of like, is caviar just so elevated to us, like, connotation-wise, that like we're like,
not
hey,
let
you put
our,
it in anything?
I will not let our indoctrination to LA make us pretend like caviar isn't fancy.
It's very
fancy.
Well,
no, it is fancy, but is lobster. So what I'm saying is they were supposed to use fancy ingredients and then put it into something lower. So is putting caviar into a tartar sauce doing the right thing?
I think so. And that was his like afterthought. He like did the whole dish and then he made tartar sauce and like, I've got 2 extra seconds. I'm going to put caviar on top of this. And it worked.
Right. So I'm wondering, so if we take them individually, I'm kind of like, I mean, you know, where does ingredients end and then dish begin?
Right, right.
But I think I can see it both ways a little bit.
Yeah. It was certainly a tough call. And I don't envy Tom for having to make the decision for everyone.
Seemed tough for him, too. Yeah. It seemed like he was like, these are both good, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. And and it seems like he almost picked it on a technicality. He was like, your corn still tasted saucy. And I was all right.
I feel like any time a contestant gets out on a particular technique or ingredient, gets Last Chance Kitchen, and then like is like, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make tough. You like it. It
that's
never really
nuts.
Works
yeah.
out.
You
it
just run away.
Emotional. Yeah. Yeah. I think like, especially it kind of reminded me of like when if like your child has like a scary moment in the pool, you're supposed to like put them back in the pool.
Is that
I think
what you're supposed to do?
Because you don't want them to be scared of water their whole life. And then they never learn how to swim, for instance.
Okay.
So you kind of are supposed to like kind of basically, you know, immerse them back in to be like, it's fine. You're fine. Look, you're back in the water. Water's good.
Oh.
So I feel like that's what's going on sometimes with Last Chance. They're like, corn's okay. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, corn's your friends.
Good. Corn,
we
you
love
still
corn.
Gotta love corn.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Didn't work in this scenario, though.
Well, Sue ends up winning, makes it through Last Chance Kitchen. The vibes I get from Sue are like the Green Ranger. Does that make sense to you guys? Is this making sense?
What is it? Refresh my memory on the Green Ranger.
There are five Power Rangers, and then there's actually a sixth evil Power Ranger. But then in a few episodes, he's not even evil anymore, and he becomes like everyone's favorite Power Ranger.
Oh, it's just like one episode, he's like the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. He definitely, like, you know, they said he just got married, you know, so he, you know, maybe
endearing
he'll be talking
story.
About his new wife, you know. So, yeah, there's some good things there. I think... good looking man, that always helps, you know.
We love a handsome guy.
Yeah. Handsome
you're talking to the guy who drafted Manny
on TV. Yeah.
Handsome guy.
I'm preaching to the choir over here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the end. Here's where we as a league have to make some decisions.
Okay.
Because we basically have a free agent now, right?
Yes.
But we also have a player who's been injured or sidelined or removed from the league. So here is what I think the smartest and easiest thing to do is that the person who had David Murphy, which is you, gets Sue on.
Regrettably, no.
You just get Sue on.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that would have to be approved by everyone else in the league, which is you and me, Iffy.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest thing to do. It's not necessarily the fairest thing to do, because if all things were starting equal at the beginning of the draft and Sue on were always there, we might have wanted Sue on.
Yeah.
So I think you sort of get like, you get Sue on by default. We have to approve it, and if either of us objects, we would have to initiate some sort of trade. Like, whoa, hold on, I want Sue on, but we'll give you so-and-so instead.
Interesting. Ooh. Spicy.
Do we agree to the terms?
Yeah, I agree to the terms. I think you can have Sue on for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just going to straight up, you feel confident in your picks.
Yeah, I'm not going to trade. I'm not going to rock the boat.
Okay.
Even though Charlie is scary right now, but I don't think I'd be able to trade Charlie right now.
Interesting. Okay. I, for drama's sake, want to steal Sue on from you.
Ooh.
But I really like my chefs. Mm-hmm. Even Savannah, who was my last pick.
Yeah.
She's really grown on
me. She's doing a good job.
She's only had, like, grand total 45 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
But she hasn't done anything dramatically bad.
Yes.
I think you can get reasonably far in the competition by being in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And in the 45 seconds of screen time she's had, she's made me feel like, okay, she knows what she needs to work on. She's here. She's not fucking around. She's here to compete. So I think I'm going to stick with Savannah.
All right.
And I think you're going to take Sue on.
Yeah.
I'm totally happy with that. You know, I mean, look, it runs the risk. He could lose next week.
He could.
And then you're just out for the count again. But look, I mean, I had David Murphy. I also was like, you know,
who
mourning,
got you zero points.
That. Yeah,
so
I'm
who gives
mourning
a
that.
Shit.
And so it's better than having nobody. And... he could fight his way back in. And again, he just got married. Maybe he'll say, I miss my wife, my new wife.
That's 0.25 right
there. I'll get
there.
A couple quarter points maybe. I'm totally happy with that. It was a fun surprise. I really was expecting, you know, just a classic David Murphy versus Valentine.
We all
so
were.
This was very
real shocker.
Very exciting.
The twists keep coming this season.
Yeah.
I was like, surely we got everything out of the way in episode one. Here we are.
Yeah. Yet another twist.
All right, let's tally up our points. As a reminder, you can find our scoring rules on Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League if you want to follow along or create your own league. So in this episode, Valentine missed his daughter. That's 0.25. The quickfire favorite dishes were Laura, Michelle, and Kevin. That is 0.5 apiece. The quickfire winner was Laura. That's 1 point. Judges table is the entirety of the yellow team, which again is Alicia, Kenny, Savannah, Dan, Rosica, Michelle, and Manny. They each get 1 point. The elimination challenge was won by Rosica. That's 2 points for her. Last chance kitchen, Sue on, gets 0.5. That's more than David Murphy ever did.
Yeah, already paying off.
So in this episode, Iffy, you gained 2.75 points.
All right.
Not bad, but you can certainly be doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Your time will come. I get 4 points this episode. Not bad. Sierra, you gain a whopping 5.5
wow.
points this time because you had the most chefs on the yellow team.
Yeah. Ugh,
team yellow.
Which is huge. So the leaderboard, as of right now, looks like this. I am still in the lead with 7 points, but right behind me with 6.5 points, Sierra Kato.
Oh, my God. Ooh.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm on your toes, man. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, what's, I was going to say, there's that great quote from Finding Nemo, which is, are you hungry? Because you're about to eat my bubbles. Dust?
I thought for sure you were going to say, just keep swimming.
Yeah.
I couldn't fathom a world where you didn't say, just keep swimming.
I haven't watched it in a while. But
is that a quote from Finding Nemo?
Yeah, Dory,
when they're racing through the jellyfish. Give it a watch. Wow. Give it a rewatch. She says something.
Yeah.
Dust, bubbles, one of those two.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Bubbles would make more sense.
Great. Okay. Right. I'll look out for your bubbles. Iffy bringing up the rear with 3.25 points.
Jesus.
Total.
Those are no points.
Those are no points.
I need a big episode. Which, like I said, Danny is due for one. Let's get a big episode in
you
the books.
You mean Kenny?
Oh, Kenny.
Ooh.
Kenny. Yeah, Danny's my guy. And then there's also Manny.
Yeah, Kenny.
Lots of NNY boys.
Yeah. Look, she gained 5.5 points this episode. It could happen to you next week. You get a huge, huge leap next episode. Anything is possible in Top Chef Fantasy League. If you have any thoughts or suggestions, either on the show Top Chef or on this podcast, Top Chef Fantasy League, you can drop us a line on Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League.
Yes.
If you want to do your own Fantasy League, please tag us. We love seeing your team names and stuff like that. If you want to watch the full unedited episodes, you can check us out on YouTube. Those are the unedited full, maybe I'll leave in the part where we forgot to hit record and you just get to see us quietly yapping at each other for 10 minutes. Who knows? Thanks again to my co-hosts Sierra Kato and Iffy Wadiwe. We'll be back next week on Monday. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Woo.
Top Chef Fantasy League is hosted and produced by Mike Cabalon, Sierra Kato, and Iffy Wadiwe. Our theme song is composed by Dylan Van Auken. Special thanks to Jarvis Johnson. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Top Chef Fantasy League.